A very good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, January 30, 2019. And this is a live talk, a diaspora forum. My name is Chris Gande.
And I'm Tanono Kawande.
We would like to welcome our viewers and listeners in Zimbabwe and around the world. And tonight we are discussing the crisis in Zimbabwe that has forced some people to flee to the diaspora.
Yesterday, scores of lawyers took to the streets and protested what they say is a glaring case of miscarriage of justice.
Thousands of people are languishing in jail following the violent protests that took place in the country over an increase in the price of petrol and diesel.
The army and the police launched a crackdown that left a few dead and hundreds injured and forced dozens others to flee the onslaught.
The authorities have released a list of wanted people who include members of parliament, of the opposition MDC, and leaders of civic organizations.
Today we want to discuss all this and more.
To join our discussion, phone us directly at 001-202-619-2077 and we'll call you right back. Live Talk goes out to Zimbabwe on our 909 medium wave frequency and on 13860 kilohertz a shortwave Monday through Friday at 8 p.m.
To join our discussion, please phone us directly at 001-202-619-2077 and like Chris said, we'll call you right back.
Yebo kambe zulukandaba namhlanje ke siyadivana njalo kuhlelo lwethu esiliphalona maviki wonke ngolwesithathu lapho ke esixoxa lezizalwane zeZimbabwe ezihlala emazweni athiyeneyo aphetsheya. Namhlanje ke sixoxa ngokwenzakala elizweni osokwenze inengi lasuka libaleka elizweni lisiyaphephela emazweni angomakhelwane ngemva kokutshengisela okwenziweyo ngeviki edluleyo lapho esizwa kuthiwa khona kulabantu abaningi kakhulu ababotshiweyo, abanye njalo bakhona abafileyo. Sifuna ukuzwa ukuthi lina lithini ngalokhu. Inombolo zethu 202-465-0318. Lingasitshayela ke inombolo siyalitshayela lathi lingasipha inombolo zenu siyalitshayela ucingo lezo ke inamba engiliphezona ngeze WhatsApp. Mr. Wande.
Nasi tiri kuda kumbotarisa shiri kuitika munyika sezwa tiri kuita mazuva ese mazuva ano aya kune vanhu vazhinji vari kumanikidzwa kuti vatize mudzimba dzavo mumisha mavo nevamwe vaakutotiza munyika. Ndiyo nyaya tinoda kuti titarise nezuro magweta akawanda akabuda mumahofisi mavo vakapinda mumigwagwa vachiratidzira vachigunun'una nenyaya yekuti mirayiro yenyika haisiri kubatwa zvakanaka uyezve kodzero dzavanhu dziri kuchorwa. Izvi zvinoita sokuti hazvina kufadza vanhu vazhinji kuti vaone vanagweta vachigunun'una kudai vari mumigwagwa asi vachipomera mhosva kuhurumende yekuti haisi kuchengetedza mirayiro yenyika. Iko zvinezvi kune zviuru nezviuri zvevanhu vari muzvitokisi vari mumajere zvichitevera kuratidzira kwakaitika vhiki mbiri dzapfuura pamusaka pekupamidzurwa kwemutengo wemafuta edzimotikari kakaita sepetro nedizel. Ukuvo masoja namapurisa vari kuramba vachinetsana nevanhu vachirova vanhu vachipindira vanhu mudzimba dzavo zvinova zvava kukonzera kusawirirana nedzimwe nyika dzinovana zvinhu zvekuramba zvichitika izvi. Iko zvinezvi hurumende yabudisa listi yevanhu vari kudikamwa nemapurisa asi list iyi ine nhengo dzeparamende dzemapato anopikisa nevamwe vakuru vemasangano akazvimirira ega zvese izvi zviri kuramba zvichikonzera nyonganyonga munyika ndiyo nyaya tinoda kutarisa nhasi tichitarisawo neavo vari kubuda munyika nevamwe vanopotera munyika nevamwe vari kunze kwenyika kuti tione kuti nyaya iyi ichafamba sei kubva pano kande.
Yes, Mr. Wande, we have our in-house guest, Mr. Jeff Smith. He is the director of Vanguard Africa Foundation. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Mr. Smith has over a decade of experience in human rights advocacy, pro-democracy, and research work on Africa, including at Robert F. Kennedy Human Rights, Freedom House, National Endowment for Democracy, Institute for Democratic Alternatives in South Africa, and UNESCO, and so forth and so on. That's a very colorful resume.
Yes, yes indeed. Yeah, and actually throughout that time, my first big, the projects I working on abroad was actually in Zimbabwe back in 2009 when I was at the Institute for Democratic Alternatives, and it was in the aftermath of the disputed election in 2008. So it was a very steep learning curve on Zimbabwean politics.
I see. So now, right now, what do you make of the situation in Zimbabwe from what you have seen?
Yeah, I think it's an unfolding tragedy that I think, unfortunately, many observers and analysts, both internationally and at home in Zimbabwe, saw coming. Obviously, this is a regime that's been in power for four decades. The leader may have changed, but the apparatus of the dictatorship remained firmly in place. And I think the human rights abuses that we continue to see that are being committed with impunity, live shots being fired at protesters, people being killed in the streets, is tragic. And I think the real tragedy of Zimbabwe as well is the fact that, you know, for the past two decades, it's really dragged the rest of the region down with it. You see the spillover effect with whether it's economic or political refugees flooding the border to South Africa and elsewhere. So it's really a regional problem that I think hasn't been adequately addressed by so-called leaders in the region, not least of which those being in Harare.
You have been following events in this region, particularly Zimbabwe, among others. Did it ever occur to you that Zimbabwe would find itself in this kind of situation 30 years ago, 39 years ago?
Yeah, I think, you know, looking back, during the post-revolutionary era when Mugabe first came to power, many people forget he was a guest here in Washington. He visited the White House. He gave a big speech at Howard University. There was a lot of high hopes, I think, for the ZANU-PF government back in the early 1980s. And for a while, you know, you two are the experts, and I'm sure your listeners know much more than I do, but there were some positive gains that were made at the outset. But then, of course, you know, you get into the mid-1980s and late 1980s and the Gurundi and the massive state-sponsored political violence that happened, which I think is putting it lightly. And then we fast forward to today in 2019, and the president now was one of the chief architects of those atrocities that were committed as far back as the 1980s. So again, you know, as I was mentioning at the outset, I think it's just been an unfolding tragedy in slow motion that I, unfortunately, a lot of people saw coming. I think the country needs fundamental political change and respect for the basic human rights that people are born with simply by virtue of being human, and also for leaders in Zimbabwe to respect the rights enshrined in their own constitution. I think that's what's been lacking.
So when you say there was high hope for Zimbabwe in 1980, would you compare that hope with what we saw in 2017 when Robert Mugabe was ousted from power?
I think, you know, the euphoria that we saw in the streets in November 2017 was a lot of pent-up frustration over the years. And I think, you know, talking to Zimbabweans and civil society and ordinary citizens, cousins and friends I've made over the years, I think there were some segments of society that were willing to give President Mnangagwa and the vice president and others the benefit of the doubt. I think at that point it was anyone but Mugabe, and we'll take it and see what we can do with this so-called new dispensation. I, for one, and many of the people that I'm close to weren't fooled. I don't think many people saw, including myself, saw the change coming that the president, the current president, was promising. And again, I don't think it's any surprise that we're sitting here today again talking about the unfolding crisis in Zimbabwe. And I think it's continues to trend in the wrong direction. And still, I haven't seen it, unless you have. The president remains silent. He hasn't given a nationwide speech. He hasn't invited the political opposition or civil society to the table. In fact, it's a situation that continues to get worse and continues to deteriorate. And I think, again, that should be concerning not just for Zimbabweans, but for leaders in the region who it should be in their best interests to promote democracy at the regional level. And we continue to see this evident backsliding, of which Zimbabwe is a prime example.
Mm. It seems like Zimbabwe has a lot more of its citizens outside its borders than it did 20 years, 15 years ago. What effect do you see in terms of differences or weight between the opposition in Zimbabwe today vis-a-vis the opposition in Zimbabwe after independence or before the MDC was formed?
Yeah, I think the political opposition continues to go through its growing pains. If you look back to its formation in the early 2000s, which grew out of the trade union movement and the late Morgan Tsvangirai and other leaders at the time, it's still a relatively young movement. But I think, again, you have to look at Zimbabwe in a larger context. It's not a coincidence that every single liberation movement turned ruling party has never lost an election in the region. You look at Namibia, Angola, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, South Africa. None of them have lost power because there's an authoritarian solidarity in the region. These leaders stick up for one another. But also at the...
What's the common thread there among these revolutionary parties?
I think the famous saying goes that at some point there comes a time when the revolution starts to eat its own, and you've seen that in Zimbabwe. You've talked about the many people leaving the country. If you travel often, as I've had the privilege to do, when you travel to London or the top universities in the United States and in Europe, many of the professors there teaching political science and the humanities and chemical engineering are Zimbabweans who left the country because there just simply aren't opportunities at home. And that's really the true rot that you see in repressive dictatorships, of which I would consider Zimbabwe one. I get a lot of flack for saying that about Zimbabwe, and people point to the constitution, but the constitution means little if the principles enshrined therein are not actually acted upon and respected, and that simply just does not exist in Zimbabwe. So I think it's just a toxic political situation that I think demands dialogue, and it demands solutions, which are so far lacking, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Smith, we'll be back to you. We have a caller, Mr. Wande. Can you please?
Muripo here, Parnare. Makadini, tukutana nani? Uye murikupi?
Mukutana na Christopher, ndiri ku Harare Airport.
Oh, muriku Airport. Okay, mkoma Christopher. Tibatirevo, mneo ne masho kwenyu?
Ya, zirikuitika muzimbabu wa zinachimiro chakanaka. Nekuti kana urumende ichigona kutumira kuti masoja aponde wane mune mapurisa. Zvinhu zvakashata zviri kukonzera kuti vana vemuzimbabwe vashungurudzike. Ini sekufunga kwangu ndaiona sekuti kutaurirana kwakanaka, asi kana munhu mukuru wenyika achiti handisi kufara nezviri kuitika, ivo vanhu vachienderera mberi nekungopondwa nekurohwa nemasoja nemapurisa, ndinoona iri nzira isina kunaka. Pamusoro pazvo, vanotsvaka dambudziko kuti iopposition yeti munyika mune mapato akawanda. kubva kumapato akakwikwidza anosvika kuva anosvika kuma 21 asi vari kungonzi vane mhosva ndeopposition inotungamirwa napresident vanelson chamisa kosei vasiri kumbotaurwa nezvemamwe mapato kosei vadi vadiisisa musoro pamwe chete kuti nyika yedu iende mberi pakuti vana vapondwe nemapurisa mabasa nemapurisa muzimbabwe nderei basa remasoja nderei hakuna here vakuru mumabharaki vari kutuma vanhu ivavo vari kutumwa nani zvichibva kupi mota dzinoshandiswa kunorova vanhu ndezvemasoja dzakavharwa manumber plates ndezvemapurisa vanhu vacho vanozivikamwe asi yevoti hatizive kuti vanhu vari kurova vanhu vari kupi zvinobatsirei
aiwa tinotenda zvikuru nemashoko enyu tinotenda chaizvo maita enyu
mukanzwa zvikutaurwa namai mutangwa vari kuti tiri kushungurudzira varohwa ngavaende vanomhanara shuwa mune chokwadi here kuti munhu hawe mudzimai arepwa nearohwa oenda unotomhanara kumapurisa unonomhanara sei iwe uchirohwa usati watobvawo mhanara kwacho
ye aiwa tinokunzwai tinokunzwa chaizvo masvita enyu mukoma tinotenda zvikuru chaizvo
ndokupedzisira ndaanchitokumbiro hwangu hakuna here vamwe masangano kana kuti pasi rose unobatana kubva kuunited nation europe yacho nesadak neau nemamwe macivic organization neemachurch vogara pasi kwete kuti vaopposition pati ogara pasi oga pasina un pasina eu pasina sadak pasina au nemamwe macivic organization hazvina chinobuda asi tandai mungazve kuti masangano ese akabatana ouya wogara pasi nemaopposition acho vati pamwe chete panowegera kuva chinhu chinobuda kwete kungoti maopposition pati ogara pasi oga vemachechi vakazvitadza vakangonyarara vamwe maparlamentarians chaopposition vakangonyarara kunze kwemdc chete vari kungoti tiri kurohwa ko vamwe vakanyararirei kana kuti zvichida kuti nyika yedu iende mberi
aiwa tatenda chaizvo nemashoko enyu ndinoemba mazuva mashomanene ari kuyapa tichaona kuti zvinhu zvakatarisa kupi sezvo misangano yakati wande iri kurongwa tatenda chaizvo Mr. Smith this caller is in Zimbabwe, is in Harare, and he acknowledges the seriousness of the situation in the country at the moment. But he's wondering why the government is using the army in dealing with citizens instead of using the police. He is also saying that it's okay for the talks to be, the talks. But what good are those talks if the president himself does not seem or appear to be taking these things seriously? So he would like to see the president taking an active role. Instead of apportioning blame to political parties, opposition political parties, he should stand out that this is wrong, should stand out and show his leadership. And he's wondering, he's confused now about the role of the police and the role of the army, because they seem to be doing the same thing, yet the army should not have any role in policing the civilians. So he's also saying that the talks that we are hearing about the negotiations are worthless unless they are outside referees. If they are just sitting there with people appointed by the president himself, then it's going to be a futile exercise. Yeah. That was what he was saying.
Yeah. Unsurprisingly, that's a very astute observation from your caller from Zimbabwe. That's a great question. You know, why are the military in the streets?
Yes.
Has a national emergency been declared? I haven't seen that. And I think, to the larger point, I think this entire, what some people have labeled a good cop, bad cop routine between the president and the vice president is nonsense. The president is the chief executive of the country. He knows what's happening. He has ordered violent, brutal, deadly crackdowns in the past. So I'm not sure why people think that somehow is not happening today. And if not, that's a real testament to the lack of power that the president has. And if that's the case, who really is in power? I think that's a legitimate question that needs to be asked. In terms of regional mediation and having an impartial referee at the table, I think, again, that's a great recommendation. But as we've seen in the past with the Commission of Inquiry, for instance, where the president essentially installs people who will toe the ZANU-PF
and
party line.
Actually, when he was talking, he wants outside mediators to be involved in the talks, but he also expressed skepticism over regional organizations like SADC and the African Union.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. You didn't give the impression that it's impressed by it. By their role in situations like this.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the history of the African Union, just to take one example on elections, they have never not rubber-stamped an election in the history of the continent. There were some recent statements with the Congolese elections, of which they voiced some concern, but ultimately, at the end of the day, they cede way to the status quo. So I think, again, that's an astute observation. SADC, as well, I think, has been lacking in terms of leadership on the Zimbabwe crisis that's been ongoing, arguably since the 2008 elections. But there are some regional standard bearers in the region, including some ex-presidents, the former president of Botswana, for instance, the former president of Mozambique, Chissano. There are people, there are men in the region who have stood on democratic principles and have acted on them and have actually, you know, cultivated a democratic atmosphere in their countries. And I'm really hoping that they stand up at this time and really push the leaders within ZANU-PF and those in Harare to actually move the country in the right direction once and for all, because obviously this is a situation that cannot continue. Zimbabwe, I say this over and over again to anyone who will listen, is a country brimming with potential, but it's been so repressed both physically and metaphorically by the leadership, by this one party that's been in power since 1980.
So now, how do you see the current crisis, you know, how it's going to affect Zimbabwe's efforts to win back into the international community? Do you think these efforts by Mnangagwa to try and, you know, he has said he's soft as a wool and all that. And what do you make of what's happening now? Does it really give the international community more power to give sanctions and stuff like that?
Well, plain and simple, I think the mirage of a new Zimbabwe has been shattered absolutely and effectively by this regime. I think that is evidently clear and becomes more clear on a daily basis. President Mnangagwa is not fooling anyone anymore. The violent crackdown speaks for itself. The fact that innocent civilians, and these reports of, you know, the beating of children, the sexual assault of young women is just outrageous and should not be accepted in 2019. So again, I think this is a situation that demands and needs regional leadership to really step in and do something. Unfortunately, you know, South Africa, which has typically tried to play a proactive role in the past, is hamstrung right now because the president there is concerned about his own election this year. And maybe it'll take someone outside of the region. If you look to West Africa, for instance, and the tremendous democratic gains being made there, is there someone there, a former leader or a current president, who can step in and play this referee role that the caller mentioned previously? Something needs to be done. I think that much is clear. But in terms of Zimbabwe at this point entering the international community and being looked upon as a credible, legitimate player in that regard is just not going to happen. I think the world has witnessed in broad daylight what this regime is capable of. And I think, again, this notion of a so-called new dispensation has been shattered. That's over. And I think it's again demanding of serious action at both a regional and international level.
Well, thank you so much to those who have just joined us. A very good evening. We are talking tonight about the current situation in Zimbabwe, where we understand that thousands of people have fled the country to neighboring countries. We are trying to get hold of a number of those who have fled. We want to hear their side, Mr. Wendy.
I've got a few messages here already. Most of them are just, you know, our listeners and viewers telling us that they are tuned on. Courtney Kirtian says, my phone is just blinking now. No, this is our This one is just blinking when I'm just about to put it here. Yeah, Albi Matarudze says the United States needs to stop giving a blanket approach of dialogue and unity government. Zimbabwe's opposition will never be able to control ZANU-PF with its stronghold in the army. We need a transition authority to totally disarm ZANU-PF. We can have a complete audit, reset, and clean up our judiciary, as well as reinstatement of basic services. No, that's, you know, he's touching on all the things that are now almost obsolete in Zimbabwe, and maybe it appears to me that his view is that nothing can actually make any difference as long as this mechanism still stands as it is. I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the issue of reforms is a necessary one, and one that hasn't been addressed. If you go back to the government of national unity between 2009 and 2013, and the security sector reforms that were ostensibly meant to be a part of that process were never undertaken. They were never completed. And I think, unfortunately, that helped pave the way to the situation that Zimbabwe is in today. So again, it's just a lack of progress on these fundamental issues that have been long unaddressed, that, you know, that has paved the way for this tragedy that we're seeing unfold before our eyes on a daily basis, and one that is worsening. It's not getting better. Mm-hmm. Again, to your point before, the president hasn't come out and said anything. He hasn't come out to calm the country or to invite opposition leader Nelson Chamisa to the table, or leading figures in civil society and the private sector. And I think it's really going to take an all hands on deck approach to solve this situation. But again, you know, the current leadership just doesn't show any political will or really the courage and the fortitude that it's going to take to right this ship that's clearly sinking.
From what you've observed, why do you think neighboring countries, particularly South Africa and Botswana, for example, they'd rather suffer with the influx? They seem to prefer to suffer the influx of refugees from Zimbabwe rather than, you know, confronting the government of Zimbabwe and saying, look, this is what is happening. You better change this and that so that your people don't keep on crossing the border illegally and taking away jobs from the locals. Why is it that, no one wants to confront another government and say, your policies are affecting us?
Yeah, I think it goes back to, I think, what we were talking about before, this notion of authoritarian solidarity. We see that playing out in Southern Africa, as we have across the region, with the possible exception of West Africa and some of the gains that have been made there. And let's remember, too, there have been leaders in the past in the region who have spoken out and spoken up against, namely, Mugabe's brutality. There's President Khama of Botswana, President Mwanawasa of Zambia have spoken out in the past. But unfortunately, I think their voices have been too far and few in between. And you just don't see African leaders, current African leaders, speaking out against African leaders. You just have that almost an unspoken sort of bond between these men, because let's face it, they've all been men, with the exception of the former Liberian president, that have each other's backs, regardless of the ruthless violations of human rights that are occurring, the brazen abuses of political rights, of civil liberties, and I think that's a culture that needs to change. But again, if you look at the leadership in some of these institutions and some of the chairmen of the African Union, for instance, the current is Paul Kagame, again, one of the most brutal leaders, arguably, certainly on the continent, but arguably in the entire world, and former chairman Obiang of Equatorial Guinea, who's been in power since 1979, Muammar Gaddafi, before he was deposed and met his fate. So if you look at the leadership institutions that are in place on the continent, they've been severely lacking and unfortunately, represented by some of the worst of the worst authoritarian leaders on the continent. So it's going to take a ground up approach, I think, and it's going to take a lot of time to address those fundamental issues.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Let's have another caller. We have another caller, Mr.
Magadini. Muripo here parinare? Hello? I think we've lost the
caller.
Yes.
So, Mr. Smith, now of the future, what do you make of the future of Zimbabwe? I mean, bearing in mind what has happened in the last few days.
That's a tough question. You know, I am optimistic in the sense that, you know, having worked with Zimbabweans for the past decade in civil society and elsewhere, you know, I think their collective and your collective courage and your perseverance, I think, is a testament to, you know, the fact that Zimbabwe can get past this impasse eventually. I think you've just been plagued with horrible leadership, leadership that just does not respect the rights of ordinary citizens, a leadership that enriches themselves at the expense of, you know, the millions of citizens left in the country who haven't had the means or the ability to move and to vote with their feet, as Zimbabweans say. I am optimistic in the long term, again, just because I think Zimbabweans and you know, are some of the brightest, bravest, most courageous, passionate people I've met in my life. So it's those individual stories and those people that give me hope. The current leadership does not give me any hope whatsoever, and I think it's going to take a really profound, long-term, grassroots, bottom-up, you know, fundamental movement to change not only the repressive leadership in place, but also this political culture that allows these strong men to abuse rights with impunity. I'm skeptical in the short term, unfortunately, but optimistic in the long term.
Yes.
And I think Zimbabwe as a country has tremendous amount of potential that just needs to be realized and reached and untapped.
Right.
And that just has not happened yet.
Right. I think we have another caller.
Yeah, we have another
caller. Makadi Niparinare. Hello?
Hey, Magadin.
Tiripo. Vanita, do you have my finger?
I want to see my finger.
Oh, did you tell Anani?
I'm coming, Mike.
Oh, I'm coming, Mike. What's your
name? It's 2 weeks.
What's your name? Oh, okay. What's your name? What's your name? What's your name? What's
your name? I'm going to say, President, I'm going to say, I don't know if you are a president.
Kwa panya ya?
Masanchez there at the Borabaka because the Nakasadaro is not all. I have my conditions, guys. I could name my human rights abuse.
Yeah.
Look, I have my human rights abuse. My human rights abuse, I should arrogate what arrogate why it is. And she is no more to an animal quiver. But she moved poor. What you go doing? Saka, Jonas, my human rights abuse, I should actually cook. Saka vasanctions akatomboramba akadaro tinenge tiri kumboti zviri nani ndinozi zvinenge zvakutipa kuti ava vapote vachitya nekuti government yavo yacho ichadeliver haisi kudeliver because iri kubhiricha mamwe macontracts kana kuti manhikikiri marights manhiki macontracts eun chaivo chaivo ekuti toda vanhu vanogara zvakanaka saka ivo veunited nations vacho vakavapa masanctions ezesaini yekutsamwa kuti muri kubata vanhu zvakashata ivo vanotsamwei why do they move around vachinyepa kuti muzimbabwe makanaka tibvisireiwo masanctions isi zvinhu zvakanaka isi tichichema navo tisingavati
aiwa tinotenda chaizvo nemashoko enyu tinotenda maita hanyu senyu
ini ndotowedzera kuona sekuti kana ivo vachiti isusu takaa takapambwa nevarungu vachiti varungu vaitiba
But briefly, before you go, Mr. Smith, the caller was saying that he doesn't believe that the president has any new ideas for the country. He says that he's violent, and you can see that he's run out of ideas by the way he keeps quiet while all these things are happening around him. And he also blames him for the role played by both the army and the police, because they are doing these things supposedly in his name or to prop him up. So he says that he hopes that the sanctions stay in place because they are there for a purpose until something better comes out of this whole thing.
Yeah, I think the foundational issue there is once you start to see the breakdown of the rule of law, mm-hmm. Of which we're seeing in Zimbabwe on a daily basis, that's you can't continue in that situation. And for a president to be silent when these massive abuses are taking place again in broad daylight, the videos that have been coming out and the pictures and the anecdotes and the stories that I've heard personally and seen in many of the same media reports that I'm sure you're reading are just unacceptable. And for a leader of a country in 2019 to stay silent while this is happening under his watch is reprehensible. And I think, again, a testament to perhaps the lack of power that he has. And the question remains, if he's not in power, who is? Who's pulling the strings? Who's ordering the military into the streets to shoot civilians again, as we saw last August? Mm. And this is, again, still happening with impunity. You're not having any accountability for these crimes that are being committed. So if the president doesn't have the power to run this country in the way in which the people of Zimbabwe deserve, maybe he should step aside. Maybe it's time to start considering, what sort of country or what sort of leadership this country needs and demands to progress and to move in the right direction. Mm. And again, it's an unfolding tragedy that many people saw, expected, and long ago predicted. So the urgency is now, and reform needs to happen yesterday. Yes. So I really do hope for the best for the country and do, as I said, I want to leave on an optimistic note, and I do remain optimistic just because Zimbabweans in general have been through so many hardships over the past four decades, and they've always persevered, and I don't expect that spirit to die down anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. I'm tempted to ask you just one last question, Mr. Smith. What did you think when you saw the lawyers marching, protesting about the absence of the rule of law and the lack of protection for human rights? What does it conjure up in your mind when you see lawyers protesting and clamoring for the rule of law?
Yeah, it's inspiring, and I think the lawyers of Zimbabwe have been at the vanguard of the movement in Zimbabwe for a generation now. You think of people or organizations like Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights and stalwarts in that struggle like Beatrice Mtetwa and Irene Petrus, who are longtime friends of mine, and they inspire me. And when I'm thinking about or remaining optimistic in terms of Zimbabwe's long-term development, those are the people I'm thinking of, because they they quite literally are going out into the streets and continuing to put their lives on the line for what they believe in, and that is a better Zimbabwe for all, regardless of political affiliation, regardless of geographic location or ethnic identity. And I think, again, to answer your point more directly, it's inspiring to see that, to see people exercising their basic constitutional rights that should be afforded to every Zimbabwean across the board. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they still have the energy and the bravery after all these years to continue to go out into the streets and to mobilize and to inspire others to do the same, I think really speaks volumes about their character. It's just a shame that the current political leadership doesn't have that same character, mm-hmm. that many leaders in civil society and then these legal and within the legal fraternity have. Again, another tragedy that has befallen the country.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Mr.
Yeah, thank
Smith.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. That was Mr. Jeffrey Smith, a researcher on the work on Africa. We had him as our main guest in the studio. We are also expecting some guests on the line, Mr. Wande.
We don't have anyone on the line right now.
Yes,
we would have wanted to talk to Mr. Mavinga, especially considering the situation and the reports of people fleeing the country. We hear as people from as far as Namibia now seeking asylum, and some of these people are very high profile individuals. We would have loved to talk to some of these gentlemen, but we'll see what happens in the next several minutes. Maybe we'll be able to talk to them.
Yes, we were also expecting Mr. Charlton Wende, the Secretary of Finance in the MDC, is also a member of parliament, and he is in Namibia. We understand he's fearing for his life. We are also expecting him to hear from him. But in the meantime, Zulugandaba Lingasi Chayla Utengo si Kotle Ngotaba Lugwenza Gala Zimbabwe Sikulumage Igakulu Ngalabo Agutua Sebe Balege Ekaya Bebalege La Utugu Oluko Na ye number zetu +1 202 465 0318, Mr.
Wanda. That what I saw tipane funny each sa nas in Kuram by Shinguruga or Gai Shimpo Freezer. Nicholas Muzaya Unoti, we are receiving you well. That's very good. Pastor Mnyori Unoti. Panwal kutuka, we don't accept my messages of Tukavanu. And Edith P. Anuti, I concur with Jeff. The lack of transparency is quite understandable. I concur with Jeff. The lack of transparency is quite questionable, and the need to make people keep guessing is similar to the way the Stalin regime ran. But obviously, the ending is futile. So, pana na kawanda shukuru Pesto Mnyori, Nicholas Muzaya, and Emmanuel Nyakonda, vari kuti vakatarisa vane su muchirongwa. Aiwa tinotenda shukuru, tichaverenga mamwe ma messages kana auya. Gande, the situation is a little bit regrettable that so many people, from professional people, high-profile people, to so-called ordinary people in the country, preferring to cross the borders for something better, and not only that, but as a way to preserve their lives. There's nothing so demeaning as to run away from the people who are supposed to be protecting you.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how this is going to end. Seems like there is something new happening every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, talking of something new, Mr. Wande, we had earlier on, we received a message that the President, Mr. They call him Comrade, by the way. Comrade Emmerson Dambudzo Mnangagwa today announced the establishment of a Presidential Advisory Council. And this council is a voluntary council. And let me read just a brief of what they are supposed to do. One of the main things that they will do is to proffer ideas and suggestions on key reforms and measures needed to improve the investment and business climate in the country for economic recovery. And what is interesting about this council, Mr. Wande, is the composition of the members. And let me quickly read through some of the names. Actually, there are about, let me see, about 20 or so members of this council. And we have people like Busisa Moyo. You know, Busisa Moyo from the CZI and other business organizations. And then we have Divine Lugula, Joe Mtizwa, Zondo Sakala, Louis Maxwell Musasike, Dr. Norbert Mugwagwa, Dr. Godfrey Sikipa, Remigius Makumbe, Simbarashe Mangwengwende, yes, he's back, Dr. Lindi Westbanda, Enias Chuma, Edwin Manikai, this must be the lawyer, Sam Malaba, Professor Kuzineta Nzwimbo, Natalie Jabangwe, Trevor Ngube, yeah, the publisher. Ngube, Jana Ngube, Dr. Shingi Munyeza, Dr. Kenneth Mtata, Simon Hammond, Richard Wild, Kudakwashe Dagwirei, Professor Robson Mafoti and Mr. Mfaro Moyo. Yes. Meanwhile, we have a guest on the line, Mr. Ndlovu, Ndlovu, a Zimbabwean living in South Africa. Siyakwamukela kuhle. Yebo, ukhuluma lo Chris Gande. Siyaphila. Mzani, ungasitshela ukuthi kuhamba njani? Sizwa kuthiwa kulabantu asebebalekele khona ngapho eSouth Africa bevele eZimbabwe ngenxa yocuko olukhona ekhaya.
Kuliqiniso kakhulu ngenxa yokuthi babalekela impisa ukuza kuthema ukuthi impisi okuthiwa yizanepiyo iza izibizo lamathambo ayikhekhelezi izizathu ngenxa yokuthi abantu bakhuluma iqiniso yona ayifuna ukulalela iqiniso. Lokho kuyekugcineni kufuna kudala ukuthi yona ibisi-responda kumbe iphendule ngokuthi kangilula abantu ngoba nxa ngisebenzisa ibanisi ukuzakulula ngibalile into ezibe ngokuthi iyarepha ihed izinto ezinjalo iyachaya abantu ngichaya ngandlela kumbe ngazikhanezi ahlukeneyo bachaya ngama-AK izindi zama-AK bachaya ngama-button stick bachaya ngamajambo bekhahlela abantu so abantu bezi-stayed from that brutality abalayo kodwa iqiniso likhona abantu babaleka iqiniso belazi ukuthi kuyadutsheza eZimbabwe.
Manje ngokubona kwakho baningi kakhulu yini asebebalekele khona?
Ngabe ngingela inani ukuthi ngakunika ukuthi lidigqini ngale ndlela kodwa iqiniso elikhona engilandelelayo ukuthi baningi abantu asebebalekile ngoba yona ngomoya ovele ukhona ivele yaikhangeleli aba bantu abahlala bephilisana layo so abantu baningi.
Okay. Mr. Wande. Yes, please.
I don't know if you are in a position to tell us what happened to you, Mr. Ndlovu.
Mina ngizakhuluma kodwa ngigagqise ngingabeki ezinye indawo ngoba izikliwu ziyathanda ukuthi zilandele lowo muntu ozikhathazayo kodwa mina ngizikhathazi ngobubi ngizikhathaza ngokubatela iqiniso bona kodwa bamthathe bathi yibubi njengoba sizize upresident Mnangagwa sithi awudili those who have mentioned in my country. So okwenzakala kimi ukuthi laba bantu bayakwazi ukuthi mina ngilunga eliqakathekileyo kumbe ngathi ngilunga lebandla eliphikisayo ekuphikisaneni laphana sisitsho ukuthi bona abafuni ukuthi bezwe amazwi esiwakhulumayo ngenxa yokuthi abahlaba balengqondo yokuthi thina singabantu ababi abaphela abantu bezingakhandanga kodwa abantu silatheli bezigqondileyo ngoba kusebala njengokuthi uma uzahlela umuntu ukuthi ifike likhwezenge 150% njengoba upresidenti okuthiwa ngumnangagwa wa-announce everything ukuthi ifike lisikhwezile it was something like 150% ukuphela yayo so what happens then these people are busy targeting the people who tell other people the truth because in the given society kunabantu ababe bezabonisa abanye abantu ukuthi hheyi bantu nanti iqiniso lisezingeni elinde kumbe lisezingeni elinde so okwenzakala kini-ke mina ngasuka khonokho ukuthi ububi nabuyibubi awuso wonke umuntu obujabulelayo noma usebenza layo kunabantu mina abasuka bazitshele ukudedafa kwelezinyaweni zakho laba bantu bengamapholisa angithi besithi thinto leyenzakalayo siyithande kwesidini wonke usewenzane babika ngoba kuthethi kulande sizokubokha sikubophela izinto oyena ozenzayo ezinhle lapho esizibonayo njengelunga lamapholisa ukuthi ziqondile ngokuzama ukuthi kwakhe impilo yabantu bakusasa kanye lathi amapholisa singabantu abangenelisi kuhleleyo so-ke kuthe kwenzakala enjalo kuhlala ngamzizwana imide lapho engihlala khona basebethelekile endlini yami bafika laphana endlini babhuduza babhuduza batshela ukuthi bangathola bani ngoba bengingekho kwasuka kwaharaswa abantwana endlini ukuthi indaba mina ngingekho so inhlansi ekhona mina lapho engangikhona ngangidelekisa ukuthi ngicele omunye ngenelisi ngicele omunye umuntu ukuthi abathathe ividiyo ividiyo yangikhona sentive online ukuthi abantu babone iqiniso ngoba isikhathi esiningi izanu ayithandi ukuthi umhlaba ubone isinso yikho libona bavala i-intanethi babuyethina ukuthi hhayi ayiseyibo labana abantu abahlala bezileka izinto ngendlela ezingaqondanga sarekhoda amavidiyo sagcina sasikwazi bazawuvula i-intanethi safaka kuma kubo-twitter kubo-facebook kuma-international news stations angisho njengoba lani ngikhuluma nani kahle so kuthe kwenzakale njalo-ke ngabona ukuthi umumo lowo bantu laba bangihlasela beze ebusuku kukhanya babebathathu mangibuza unkosika ukuthi sekhangela abantwana ukuthi bafike kusuku bezidinga so ekuyisingeni kwabo bamthola kingekho ngoba ngangisiza nti igazi lami liyintelethi engingabiyelenga hambiyelanga-ke endlini ngasuka ngakwenye indawo-ke kwamanye amasabhabhu lapho ngahamba ngathatha khona lawo malanga
kwabanye ndlovu bamba kancane ndlovu bamba kancane sithathe omunye umlaleli ya ungabamba sizabuyela ku hallo ye mlaleli unjani
isikhona mse ngifuna ukukhuluma lo bhuti lapho ugande lapho
nguye okhulumayo sikhuluma lo bani
ukhuluma lo Mafati Masuku eSouth Africa
oh yebo Masuku siyakwamukela kuhlelo
ngiyabonga futhi kanti ngiyabonga kakhulu ngingathi mina ngathi ngengxenye sengile mnyaka ngabona engu-5 ngifuna ukuthi kengingenela mehleleni kodwa ngisehluleka namhlanje le mshada ngizengangena futhi kanti linto eyenzakalayo lapho eZimbabwe hhayi ibuhlungu lokhana kokuthi thina esasukela sisuka empini saze sazofika saze saba izakhamizi ubuhlungu kokuthi lancane umuntu abengavuka la abantu abafayo empini angeke bavume ukuthi balwela into enjengayona le and into yokuqala futhi eyiyo yaphambanisekayo sengikhuluma ngokwakhathisa ngisakhuluma ngokwakudala unangagwazela waphambanisa tombi wedigo eshaya umdala ikhulu khana mhlazibuza ukuthi lathi siyazibuza ukuthi kathi ithiwa echayela umdala iyona leyo ukuthi abulala abantu aqonde phambi ngoba lanti umuntu vele i-CV yakhe ivuza igazi i-CV yakhe umnango wakhe ivuza igazi akula muntu ongakwaziyo ukuthi umnango wakho lancasingelaphuka ukuthi nizakhamisi kodwa siyakwazi wabulala abantu e-DRC bethatha i-diamond pretendi bevukela izakhamuzi wazobulala abantu ngegugulu awuntu wayekhona wazobulala abantu abangumsikisi wazobulala abantu khathesi abangaziwayo ukuthi ubulela abangaki kuwona la mavikezi lokhu eqhubeka esiya phambili kulala mina into engiyisona kakhulu ngama-organization emhlabeni eu i-u sadak mina njengowami ngifuna ukutshela futhi igama engilibiza i-sadak ukuthi lithoni ibale i-sadak litho ukuthi Southern African Decatur Committee. abantu laba bonke bayazwanana labo ekwenzeni izinto zokudlova abantu bayazana. Asike ukuthi ngento umphedenti lo wenza into abanye abangayaziyo, wenza into abayaziyo. Wayethela yena ngakuyukuthi khona ekushiye kulo msindo ekhaya asuke ayeyisedodi ngawo asuka waye komakhelwane yemakhelwane basengilohlupho olunje bamemukela asidine aye millions and millions kilometers away esiyacela incwedi labo bangakibo besayathi laba bangaphi kanti bayakwazi ukuthi bayazana yikho lakhathesi bezithulele bengamncedinga ludo bafuna ukuyabona ukuthi irussia le wasuka wagijima wakiyo izomnceda ngani ethiya abantu bakhe lapha ayipho lapha ecovithini yakhe khona i-South African Dictator Comic bayazana bonke laba bantu bathule bathe to bavakilo kanti bakabulale mina bafuna ukuthi kuze kubulale inamba yabantu abangaki ukuze bangikhona kuyangenela kuze kufi umntakabani mina njengami ngikushuye ekhaya vele ngase ngithe ngithatha ngitekuze masinyane ngoba bengilezinto zami vele sengiyavula i-business bengikwazi ukuthi izani vele siyayikhanyela ngoma elesizona lapo kodwa ngokurobha kwayo kwehlula nanto ama-business ethu aphethe konke e-South Africa sizawasaba ngilezi mota zami okumele ngihambise ekhaya ezokuqala i-business esiyi-3 ngilamasipa ayi-2 ngilesaveta esiyi-1 konke khona kungaku-accumulator since ngifika lapha e-South Africa waiting for that situation to come down and to be in human situation, not having every business in America. Ama intimate local and property and my friend will support. So, if you go in Iran, you are the same page in Chiluto. I'm not even here and I'll never be here until I'm teaching them.
Hayi siyakuzwa kakhulu.
Very painful.
I'm going to go to the house.
Kukande ngiyabonga kakhulu. Hayi baphile kuphi ngakhathazeki baphila futhi.
Hayi siyathaba nqabe phila sibongile kakhulu.
Sibongile kakhulu. Hayi mina ngivele enhlayi futhi ngiyaphila la mina.
Ah okay. Hayi sibongile kakhulu mnumzane.
Ngisaleli le number yami futhi ngithinta loba kukunini. Ngisela sithaye ngithinta ke ngikhuphe lonke abantu babekwazi ukuthi kuyini okwenzakalayo.
Hayi kulungile sizayigcina inamba yakho. Okay, sibongile. Yes. Mnumzana Ndlovu, isikhathi sesihambile, ungavalelisa nje abalaleli ngamafitshane.
Mina ngiyathanda ukuvalelisa ngakho abantu ukuthi bakhuluma izinto ezimbili. The first thing is that the international community should look at this issue. The second thing is that ISTAT is just a useless organ because it's not even assisting in any way. And if ever the international community can function for the country, then they say that to say what is happening in Zimbabwe is wrong. And the Western, over the thing, because abantu beZimbabwe bamene ngeqiniso ngoba umanyala ngamanyala noma kunini njalo indlala ikhona eZimbabwe isazoba khona bazokubona amasosha azobasukumela bona labo mnankazwanoba isitu kasila uniform isitu kasila mbobho nasesinambile siyabikwe kwazo sizakutsho njengoba nanku bebencedise ukuvula izitoro belitha nakami siyabonga futhi
hayi sibongile kakhulu Well, Mr. Wande, there you have it. Mr. Ndlovu, there is saying, you know, there's no need to unite, but people just have to be different parties because they're different ideologies, I guess. Anyway, that was the end of the show. I hope that we meet again next time. We had, of course, our guest, Mr. Jeff Smith. He was with us here in the studio, and you just heard from Mr. Ngondlovu and the rest of the callers. Thank you so much. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Tanono Kawanja. Until we meet again next time, please take care. Good night.